views and opinions on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of Oldies 107.9, WOLD, or SRN Communications.
It's time now for Here's the Thing, a show that's all about you with your host, Lauren Cardinal, a board-certified hypnotist and results coach. If you're looking to make a positive change this year, learn lifelong tools to reduce stress and be present. If you're stuck and need to remove the blocks that are from success and happiness in the areas of your life, or if you want to get a new perspective on things, well, it's time to talk to Lauren Cardinal. To talk to Lauren, call 732-748-1079. That's 732-748-1079. And now, here's your host, Lauren Cardinal.
Hello, good evening. Thank you for joining me for Here's the Thing. I am Lauren Cardinal, your host. Approaching things the same way will always and only ever get you the same results. If you want to change your life or anything about your life, it starts with changing your mind. So thank you for listening live now on Oldies 107.9 WOLD, now serving more of Central Jersey at 95.1 FM. And the recordings of the show are being played on 97.5 in Sussex County on Saturday mornings. For those of you who have listened to the show before, you know that this show, Here's the Thing, is about you and for you. Each week we discuss topics that are timely and relevant. A lot of them lately have been about the holidays and things leading up to the holidays and the things that we feel and experience. So they're relevant, timely, and the idea is just to help you live a better, more fulfilling life. I am a certified life coach, results coach, and a clinical hypnotherapist, and I'll continue to talk about what's important to you. If you have something to ask or share, please do. In the meantime, thank you for listening live, and thank you to my podcast listeners. I'm excited to be here with you tonight. Again, another week. This is exciting. And if you want to call in, you can call in at 732-748-1079. I'll be taking calls in just a few minutes. I want to welcome any of my new listeners as well as my regular listeners. Welcome, welcome. Thank you for joining me. So for most people, family gatherings during the holidays are rarely stress-free. There's nothing in the world as sticky as a dysfunctional family, and I wonder if every family has a component of dysfunction in it, or whether dysfunction is the new function. But you feel good, you feel strong, you feel mature, and it's almost like 15 minutes into a holiday reunion, and you become hopelessly enmeshed in that same old crazy family dynamics. Does it sound familiar? For many people, family get-togethers require strategies for staying out of such sticky situations. And tonight, and before you head over the river and through the woods, we're going to talk about the common sticky situations at family gatherings and what you can do to preserve your good feelings and feel okay afterwards. So as I said, in just a few minutes, I'll be taking calls. If you want to call in, 732-748-1079. And first off, tonight's show is brought to you by Full Recovery Wellness Center. Full Recovery is located in Fairfield, New Jersey. And whether you're struggling to get clean and sober, a 12-step old-timer, or a family member of a recovering alcoholic or addict, the Full Recovery Wellness Center offers the tools needed to succeed in recovery and in life. And at this time of year, it may bring up the people in your life that you think could use some assistance or something that you see. So it's an important time of year, really, also for being aware of addiction. And the staff at Full Recovery Wellness Center has been with Full Recovery for years, and they know that addiction is complex. It has biological, genetic, psychological, social, and developmental roots, and their treatment targets the entire area, that whole range of factors. Their goal is simple: provide the tools that help people in recovery to enjoy a rich and rewarding life. And Full Recovery offers outpatient and intensive outpatient treatment programs, as well as a free family dynamic workshop series. They focus on the individual and the family to integrate recovery principles and spiritual concepts with leadership, relationship, and career skills to guide individuals to a life of contribution and prosperity. For more information, the number to call is 973-244-0022. That's 973-244-0022. Or find them online at www.full-recovery.com. And as I've mentioned before, I will let you know again that I can offer HIPAA-compliant video hypnosis sessions and coaching sessions. Coaching sessions I often do over the phone. They don't have to be in person. But if you like to see me and have a personal video session for coaching or hypnosis, we can do that under the HIPAA privacy law. So if you'd like to work with me, but the distance is prohibitive, it's a good alternative. You can reach out to me through my website, Facebook, or give me a call at 973-418-2170, and we can set up a video session. My newsletter goes out on Thursdays. It's called Here's the Thing on Thursday. You can go to my website's contact page or just click on the newsletter icon and you're in. My website is www.laurencardinal.com, or you can send me an email, lauren@laurencardinal.com. So in last week's show, we discussed stress, different kind of stress than the family stress, although the family stress adds a component to overall holiday stress. Tonight we're getting a little bit more specific into the family component of it. But last week we discussed stress and how it really affects us at a molecular level. Stress can change the chemical makeup of our DNA, allowing mutation where certain genes can be repressed or expressed when they wouldn't have otherwise. And this increase in the potential mutations can be prevented in as little as 5 minutes a day of being mindful and present. And those mutations are the things that, whether it leads to gene repression or expression, those are the things that allow the cancers, the heart disease, the inflammation to become more active because things have changed at a molecular level. So in as little as 5 minutes a day, being mindful and present, yoga, hypnotherapy, mindfulness, breathing, meditation, I think I said, all of those things, just to be present and focus on your breathing and get centered, can make a difference in that gene mutation at a molecular level. And for lasting change, it's about doing the emotional work while in one of those states. States like hypnotherapy, doing the emotional work while you're present. We discussed many, many very, very simple ways to be mindful on a daily basis. Things like even just noticing the texture of your food when you eat. That's being present. That's being mindful. That's being right where you are. And the tips that we talked about and that were given are easy because they just roll up into what you already do on a daily basis. And that's the idea. That's what makes things reasonable and achievable. To hear those tips and everything else that was discussed, or if you'd like to hear it again, you can find that podcast as well as all of my previous shows' podcasts on my website, www.laurencardinal.com, or through iTunes. And in addition to welcoming the listeners on 107.9 and 95.1, I would like to welcome the Sussex County listening audience to the show on WRSK 97.5, broadcasting pre-recorded shows from Sussex County Community College on Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 a.m. So welcome. And as always, you can listen to the live show on the internet at WOLDradio.com, through the TuneIn Radio app on your Android phone, or the free Apple device app. So on with the show about family. Sometimes the family situations are small. They might be small, unpleasant, just little blips in otherwise enjoyable celebrations. But for some, the feelings go deeper. Many people dread the holidays. They can become stressed or anxious in the weeks leading up to a family get-together. And why is it that familial stress is especially potent during the holidays? Feeling stressed out by the people you love can feel isolating. But if you're one of the people for whom this is the case, you are definitely not alone. Now, there isn't much hard data on this that I could find, but many or most people feel some degree of stress surrounding their families and their around the holidays. And though some people stress about it more than others because of their personalities or family history, the stress itself is a very normal feeling. So why do we get stressed out about seeing family and around the holidays in particular? Well, expectations are one of the biggest reasons. We watch Christmas specials or remember celebrating Thanksgiving as children and anticipate, you know, this picture-perfect experience, but often it's not a reality. We think this should be a perfect time. The food will be perfect, and our conversations will be respectful. But when our realities don't match that, we get frustrated. The holidays can also be a time when we're reminded of what we don't have. And we can focus on the appreciation, but there are components. There are times when we're reflecting on the year. We're coming up to the end of the year. You look back at the year, and there is the opportunity that some of us think about what we don't have. And that further highlights how the celebration doesn't meet the ideal picture that we had in our heads. And families also bring special forms of baggage, we know. Even for the closest families, conflicts do happen, especially when people are confined to a limited space during family gatherings that can last for days sometimes. If you're staying with relatives, you can be there, it's close proximity. And because conflict is a normal part of relationships, the closer you are, and the more you self-disclose, and the more you may hear things you don't like. People, let's say, returning to their parents' houses for the holidays may feel guilty for not being as close as they once were, or family members' habits that may have been mild and unoffensive when you were all living under the same roof now may seem intolerable. Sometimes, as we work through the discomfort of shifting familial roles, like kids growing up and parents getting older, we can snap back into old behavioral paradigms, as we all tend to assume our prescribed roles. And this is something that we've talked about here before, about how we grew up and our belief systems that formed. And we can be outside growing in our careers and making all these wonderful strides, but when we get by our family, sometimes those defaults just click right back into action. And it almost seems like without our even realizing it, it's boom, there we are in a matter of minutes. And no matter how mature your relatives may be in everyday life, when we're thrown together in an old, familiar situation, they or we regress, and the issues take center stage. Why? Well, author Stephen Covey says that experience has taught them that this behavior succeeds in getting people to focus on them and their agendas. So just a bit of information there for observation, perspective, and a word I like to use, percolating. I can percolate on that for a little while. And we've said so many times on this program before, you can't control the actions of anyone else, including your relatives, but you can at least control your own reactions, at least some of the times, right? It's about progress. So what I wanted to do is go through some examples of situations or personalities or the combination of those that you might experience at a holiday gathering. And then some ways to think about it, some ways to approach it. So the first one, when someone gives you unsolicited advice about everything from raising your kids to how you should do your job. That statement like, when I was in your situation, I knew exactly what I had to do. the course of action that you could possibly take is understanding that the criticizer relies on his ability to bait you. Just don't take the bait. Thank him, point out the facts that he may have overlooked, and move on. If he keeps offering those comments, those digging comments that are disguised as advice, you can easily divert the conversation with something like, oh, don't worry about me, I'm fine. Keep it light. The perspective, getting objective, getting some distance from it. Keep it light. What about the person who refuses to help with the cooking, the cleaning, the child care, or even candle lighting? This may be an opportunity to entertain the possibility that this person doesn't realize anyone needs help. Maybe they're not asking. Or perhaps he's worried that if he were given a task to complete, he'd fail. It may be a good idea to ask the request for help and give precise instructions. Something like, Vincent, it would be a great help if you went ahead and started rinsing the dishes. Let me get you an apron. Something like that. Friendly, light, request specifics. And if someone in your family is just full of holiday cheer and hurls herself into the holiday spirit with something like, hey guys, let's bundle up and go caroling in the snow, and it may not be your thing. But if you're not in the mood, or if her joyousness just gets a little irritating, don't dampen her good mood. She likes being the center of attention, but you can just keep your distance. Be respectful and just keep your distance. It's an opportunity not to participate, but allow this person, and the he's and the she's are really just arbitrary. It could be either gender doing these things, and I switch back and forth. There's no specific intent here, and certainly no names, because I didn't apply anyone in my family to any of these situations, just in case my family is listening. And if you're tuning in, you are listening to Here's the Thing. I am your host, Lauren Cardinal, board-certified hypnotist and results coach, and tonight we're talking about how to deal with family during the holidays. Families seem to offer a different type of stress during the holidays, and if you have something you'd like to share, I'd love to hear from you. You can call in at 732-748-1079 and let me know what's on your mind. So what about if someone in your family chronically oversells achievements or work situations or their children's accomplishments or, I don't know, the size of the fish that they caught? Chances are they're feeling insecure. And it may not be the right thing to do to embarrass someone who might be exaggerating due to feeling insecure, right? You might feel a bit brash. And it might be a little bit rude. And honestly, a little exaggeration on his part isn't too much to endure, really, is it? If it makes him feel more comfortable. And the important thing to think about here, too, is that if you see it, chances are that other people at the gathering will see it, too. And it kind of levels it. Anything to make people feel more comfortable. That's what grace is, right? Being gracious. What about if your cook or your host lets everyone know just how many potatoes he or she has had to peel and shows the blisters to prove it? Know anyone like that? Well, if you know someone like that, perhaps when he or she begins listing the sacrifices, you can interrupt with something like, and that's why you deserve to relax for the evening. All you can do is ask if the individual needs help. And even if it's only to assure yourself that you tried, if someone is in that frame of mind and having those types of discussions, then that individual is obviously getting something that he or she needs out of it. And whether it's satisfaction or superiority, for that moment, there is something, there's a need that's being fulfilled there. So there's no need to feel guilty about it. Offer the help, and if it's declined, then you did what you can do in that situation. And then there's the passive-aggressive person who follows every shred of opinion with a question mark. She knows what she wants, but tells you after the fact. Maybe often being heard saying, whatever you think is best. And something to keep in mind is that this person could be wounded because you haven't been able to read her mind. Her behavior is subtle manipulation, but she's probably unaware of it. If you can get past the after-the-fact guilt, you can just ask her to be clear next time. Something along the lines of, if you let me know next year what kind of pie you prefer, I'll put it on the menu. And perhaps you can relate to the person who passes around gory details and doesn't know what may or may not be appropriate table talk. And this person may make social blunders and every now and again and believes that people want to know every gory detail of what they've been through. It might be an opportunity to just gently change the subject. Offer a related topic, such as, I hear sciatica can be very uncomfortable, especially when you're pregnant. Grace, when is your daughter-in-law due? Something just an acknowledgement, not to ignore or shut down, but just to lighten it up and divert, get the conversation going in a different direction. And then there's the complainer, who makes it known that nothing is right, or as good as it was in, I don't know, December of 1962. The person complains about everything from the forks to the desserts, which, let's be honest, desserts are just fabulous in any way, shape, or form most of the time, aren't they? Can you tell I have a sweet tooth? And most complainers, just so you know, most complainers aren't a threat. They don't necessarily require you to do anything, but just continue in your usual friendly and polite self. And if you find that the complaining is draining you or pulling from your energy, because we've talked about that before, you can feel it, then there may be an opportunity to excuse yourself or distance yourself. Again, change the subject, bring someone else into the conversation. And the individual may be playing the victim role as a way to get attention. So just disregard their attempts to get you to share their foul mood. If you're not in that mood, then just rise above it, keep it light, divert, engage in a different way. And there could be a person at some of the gatherings that can be a bit of a bully. And that one may not be as easy to slough off or to change the subject. When there's somebody who's there as a bully and acting on the bully tendencies, they usually have the capacity to hit a nerve. And generally, they don't pick on people their own size, right? It hurts others' feelings. Saying things like, everyone knows you got the beauty and your brother got the brains. And the bully uses mockery as a way of connecting with others. So if you know of this person in advance, plan to have an opt-out. Don't play the game. Don't allow your participation in it. And keep in mind that this individual probably has a whole wealth of experience dating back to his days of kindergarten, first grade, second grade. Remember, those things are formed as beliefs when we're kids. And generally, if someone is bullying, it's because they were bullied. That's the way it works. So do stand up for yourself, because bullies respond to boundaries that are enforced, generally speaking, and don't back down. And you could even use humor to make light of his seriousness. In a case like, oh, everyone knows that you got the beauty and your brother got the brains, maybe it's just as easy as lightening it up with a little bit of humor to say, and you obviously got the charm. Whatever works for you. But if you know of this person and you are feeling anxious about going to the holiday gathering because of that, then think it through and plan in advance. If someone gets too personal or gets into your business by asking you tons of questions, this person may want to feel superior to you by making you feel insecure. In response to nosy inquiries, you can just ask politely, why are you asking? with a smile. Why are you asking? Curiosity, right? I'm curious. Why are you asking? The individual usually would get a little bit embarrassed, and enough just to drop the question. And if you're prone to it, or you like to use it, a little sarcasm could probably work in this situation. Varying degrees. Some people, sarcasm can work in a lighthearted sense, and sometimes it can come across a little bit more malicious, even if that's not the intent. Just be mindful of how sarcasm works for you to keep things light at the holiday gathering, right? And what about the person who dominates the conversation? Doesn't let anyone get a word in edgewise. Just know that this person tends to find himself, I don't know if fascinating is the right word, but certainly wants to share. Maybe it's in a know-it-all way. Maybe it truly is just sharing. But if they're not letting somebody get a word in edgewise, then there could be a little bit of disrespect there as far as not allowing or paying attention to what other people think. And a good opportunity there, if you are the host or in a position to do so, you can just have them sitting with somebody who might not be as affected by that example. Steer the conversation away from topics that particular person might have a tendency to go on about. Or you can engage somebody else that knows something about that subject matter so that there's more of a dialogue going on. And there's room in all of it for sharing things and at least sharing conversation. So one thing in all of these that I've shared so far, seeing the parallel among all of them, is remaining objective, keeping it light, and there is a component of that that requires us to be mindful and present before and during the holiday experience. If you're stressed out, then you're not being mindful and far more predisposed to react than respond. So, moving on, what about the individual who likes to gossip? Now, I think different families have different responses to gossiping, and I think that there are varying degrees of the offense of gossiping. Sometimes it's really just a way for people to show that they care, asking questions and getting interested in the community, the family, the people around them. I do think there's a fine line, and we know the difference when gossip really is serving no purpose. Generally speaking, I try to go by the rule that I try and speak, and try, yes, that's the operative word, to speak about individuals, if I'm going to do that, as if they were in the room or standing right next to me, so that nothing that I would say is offensive, or that if they were there right there with me, they would be able to ask me a question about it without heat in that kind of conversation. And if your guests are gossiping, maybe there's not a need to scold them for sharing a few juicy details. But if it's extreme and mean-spirited, there might be an opportunity to certainly change the subject or point out the good things. And again, I think depending on where the conversation goes, that could be an energy drain. And if you know about this type of situation in advance, you can have an opt-out, you can have a plan, something else to bring up. But again, being mindful, being present, seeing objectively. And if it's starting to get mean-spirited, then you can interject with something a little bit lighter. If you know that someone is going through an emotional time and has difficulty at family events because of the emotions that the gatherings bring up, then it's important to give this person a chance to vent. And it may be better to do that before everyone sits down to a meal. You can assure that individual that you know they're going through a difficult time and mention that you want to hear about it, but also let them know that you're free to listen at any time, but want to be able to give them their full attention. So maybe during the meal or at the family gathering may not be the best time. Address it, acknowledge it, validate it, and then plan for a different time to be there and lend that ear for full attention. And how about The Grinch? Oh, I'm just looking at the time here, and I think The Grinch is a good one to lead off with right after we come back from the break. So we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about The Grinch at the family holiday gathering. Be back in a moment. Did you know there's a world-class addiction treatment center that accepts most insurance right in Fairfield, New Jersey? The Full Recovery Wellness Center offers substance abuse help with flexible day and evening options. Overcoming addictive behavior is really just the beginning of recovery. The Full Recovery Program offers a holistic approach to improve all areas of your life, from strained relationships to difficult career and financial situations. At Full Recovery, the goal is simple: provide you the tools needed to enjoy a rich and rewarding life. Full Recovery is now offering its exclusive Badge of Honor program, a treatment solution designed to meet the unique privacy needs of New Jersey's first responders and police officers. When relapse is not an option, turn to the state licensed professionals at the Full Recovery Wellness Center, located at 87 Fairfield Road in Fairfield. For more information, 973-244-0022 or at www.full-recovery.com. Full Recovery Wellness Center in Fairfield.
And now, back to Here's the Thing, a show that's all about you on WOLD. And your host, Lauren Cardinal, a board-certified hypnotist and results coach. If you'd like to speak to Lauren, you can call in at 732-748-1079. That's 732-748-1079. Let's get back to the show with your host, Lauren Cardinal.
Hello, and welcome back. So tonight we're talking about family stresses during the holidays, the gatherings, and the things that we experience with our families at the family gatherings. And before the break, we brought up a number of different instances of people, personalities, situations that we may experience at family gatherings and how to handle them. And before the break, I mentioned the individual that you might have at your family gathering that you might think of as the Grinch. It's the one that hates everything. Doesn't get the whole quality time thing, prefers the game on TV to gathering in the next room with everybody. And if you're hosting, maybe that individual, you might offer, you know, do you want to spend time with the family in another way? Do you want to come on this day? Because maybe it just isn't a good experience for that individual. And if you want to spend time with him or her that day, maybe just trying a gentle plea like, I'd love to catch up with you. How about turning off the game and going for a quick walk? Or specify an activity with a time limit. So there's the opportunity for connection, but then allowing that individual to go off and do what they want to do. And if you have someone at your family gathering that notoriously has too much to drink and it's uncomfortable, then you could try communicating ahead of time that drinking will be limited this year and ask for this person's cooperation. If somebody does have too much to drink, you could just take them aside and ask that they slow down, stop, or do it somewhere else. And you can get somebody else involved maybe to talk to them, another family member. Obviously, if this is a first time, then you may not know who could be an influencer. And if it's something that you experience more frequently, then maybe it's something that you kind of plan for in advance. But at the bottom line, and most important though, make sure that the individual gets home safely and arrange for transportation if necessary. No drinking and driving. And there are also certain topics or issues that tend to have a lot of heat associated with them. And bringing them up at family gatherings may not keep things light and fun. The bottom line, provided that you've been with this group before, you likely know the hot points, whether it's politics, which I almost think that there couldn't be a household that politics wouldn't be a hot topic right now. Maybe it's religion, maybe it's personal finance. Maybe it's child rearing, maybe it's relationship issues. If you know your group, you know what to avoid. And if your expectation, based on history, is to expect certain things, one, keep your expectations in check and realize that they are just expectations, and what you experience can be different. You can hold that hope that things can be different. And two, prepare. Think of some things that you think might happen and prepare your response, maybe in loose form, because conversations never seem to go the way we prepare them in our heads. So preparing a response in loose form. For example, with parenting, maybe you hear, oh, you're too liberal with your kids, or they run all over you, or the opposite, you're too strict, you don't let them breathe. The bait is so-and-so was brought up like that, and look what happened to him or her. If you continue this way, your children will surely be convicts or hippies or commitment phobes when they grow up. And honestly, whether we're helicopter parents or totally hands-off, everyone will have an opinion about how we raise our children better, how we could raise our children better. Just don't put on the boxing gloves. Don't participate. Lean back, take a deep breath, and just keep your sense of humor. This is the objectivity, getting some distance from it. You can come back with something like, oh, so you want to take them for the summer? Great. Or just sort of the overt diversion, which can be humorous too. How about those Yankees, right? Kind of like not going there. And there's a little hint I want to give you, and it's something that we've talked about in the past. For situations like these, when certain topics or issues come up and the heat that's involved with them, or the people, that the same situations or the same experiences or the same type of people will continue to enter your life until you've learned the lesson and moved past it, dealt with it and moved past it. So if you expect a certain response, you'll likely get it because you get what you expect, right? But if you also prepare yourself better to calmly and appropriately respond, chances are good that, one, the situation won't even present itself because we've got the whole situation figured out in our minds, right? Oh, if they say this, I know I'm going to say this. If they say this, I'm going to say this. Well, nobody ever says anything, and you've got all this great conversation in your head that you never even get to say. So maybe it won't even present itself. Or if it does, your proper response means it will be the last time because you've dealt with it and it's past you. You've moved on. How refreshing would that be? Mm-hmm. And other things that can rear their ugly heads. Old wounds have a way of coming up during family get-togethers. Simple joking or innocent conversation can touch a nerve. It can hit on insecurities or reawaken bitterness. Suddenly, a person snaps, and then you can feel the energy in the room change. And those things can come out of left field. So again, if you're being present, mindful, objective, keeping it light, you have a better opportunity to respond instead of react. And if there is a person who has been, who has snapped, don't dismiss their feelings. Just work to understand them. If you were involved in someone being hurt, do what you can do to make the relationship right again. If it's before the holidays, even better. And keeping in mind that holiday time, reconciliation is the central theme. So it's a good time to seek forgiveness, resolve issues, apologize. If you are the offended person, be quick to offer forgiveness. And if you're not sure if you can forgive, go back to the show 2 weeks ago about forgiveness and the process for forgiving. And the other thing that can come up during holiday gatherings that can be a bone of contention, I guess, is when there are different traditions in families that are combining, and each tradition is deeply ingrained, and the families each want their own traditions, and there can be a bit of a clash. And when two blending worlds, it can be hard to let things go, especially when each group has expectations of their traditions being honored and continued. So a way to prevent that is that maybe there can be an opportunity to create a new holiday story that fits for this new group that's gathering. Creating your own traditions, incorporating those traditions from childhood that are the most important to each person, but then adding some new. It's a lot easier when each person lets go of a bit of the past traditions and embraces new ones so that it's all together. If you're just tuning in, you are listening to Here's the Thing. I am your host, Lauren Cardinal. Tonight we are talking about family gatherings and the stress that can almost suddenly appear sometimes at family gatherings. If you have something that comes up for you at family gatherings that you'd like to talk through a little bit or get some perspective on, or just share your own learning and how you've gotten past it, it could be helpful for others. Give a call, 732-748-1079. And some other helpful hints to take with you at your family gatherings. These are some surefire subject changers, let's say. And the diversions have their moments. They're invaluable, really, as a not-so-subtle way to steer the conversation away from the tension, the energies that are in the room that are not quite coming together very nicely. And just remember that changing the subject does take some finesse and some awareness and some balance. So again, being mindful, observing, there's an opportunity there. Be careful not to do it without reason or without letting the other person finish what they're saying before you have that diversion. Then if you don't, you just risk the opportunity of being the one who interrupts. So just a matter of being mindful of the conversation. And asking a question is usually effective, a great way to divert other family or an uncomfortable situation. It gives people an opportunity to talk about something else. So some ideas of ways to change the subject. Ask if anyone's up for a movie after dinner. List the ones that you've wanted to see. That's sure to get some conversation going. People who have seen it. People who also want to see it. People who saw it and thought it was the worst movie they've ever seen and you should never go and see it. Those opinions can be a little bit lighter, right? And someone will surely volunteer a suggestion of their own. It's a great way to get some conversation going, even if you never get around to going to the movie. You can also think of something that's happened to you in the last few months that you can announce at the table, a promotion or awards your kids have won or home improvements, experiences, any of these things, however small. They're all fair game. They're all great ways to change the subject. Be careful not to enter into the bragging territory, but I think there's a large area there before we get into the bragging territory, particularly if you're excited about it. Share your excitement. Why not? Your family would want to hear about the exciting things that are happening and the things that certainly are exciting to you. And maybe you can start talking about a relative who's not at the gathering, more in a questioning way. Nothing nasty or gossipy. Just asking if there's anyone spoken to them, any news, if they're not at the gathering. Just an awareness that you were asking about them. You can comment on the food. Ask where the chef found the recipe or what kind of wine you're drinking. There's all sorts of history in the wine, particularly for somebody who carefully picked a wine that they brought. A lot of information and respect for asking the questions of someone who has that kind of interest. And as a last resort, I kind of like this one, although I don't know why I would do it. If the tension is tight and conversation really isn't going anywhere, maybe you could just take a spoonful of peas and shoot it across the room. Everyone's eyes will be on you at that point, instead of the person who's being rude or inappropriate or the person who feels uncomfortable is creating the tension, right? Automatic energy break right there. And if you do that, let me know. I want to hear about it. Some other things that you can do. Now, Obviously, the hope is that our families will act perfectly, or even reasonably well, maybe setting us up for those false expectations. I feel like the expectations can easily be somewhere in between. If you're setting up your expectations for disappointment or for people to act a certain way, then you're setting yourself up one way. If you're expecting perfection, then you're setting yourself up another way. I think in between there are the reasonable expectations. If you want to put any expectations around it, maybe the expectation is just that whatever comes your way, you're going to be able to deal with it and keep things running smoothly. Maybe that's a great expectation to set your sights on. But before you meet your relatives this season, take a few moments to sit quietly and acknowledge maybe what you wish they were like, and then prepare to accept them even if they behave as they have always done in the past. Focusing on, in this season particular, focusing on the love and the acceptance. Something else you can do is set your secure boundaries. Boundaries come up a lot for us on this show, and setting them is an important thing. And given that your family members will probably go on being their same old selves, because you're not the only one that falls into the default patterns, everyone in the family does. So unless we're all aware of that at the same time, then those same old selves will continue. But you need to decide, you have the opportunity to decide how much contact with them you really want. Are there certain relatives that you really just don't know if you can be around? Are there others that you can handle in group settings but not one-on-one? How much time with your family is enough? How much is too much? You know the answer to these questions, and you can set those boundaries for yourself. It's crucial to answer these questions before, not during, a family gathering. So prior to the event, think through various boundary options for yourself until you come up with a scenario that makes you feel comfortable. Would you be more enthusiastic about to get together if you plan to leave after no more than 4 hours, or three, or two, or one? Would you breathe easier if you rented a car so that you could get away without relying on relatives for transportation? Would it help to have a friend call you on your cell phone halfway through the evening to give you an opportunity for a graceful exit if you needed it? What about losing control? And by that, I mean give up trying to control. And an example, you're in the middle of their holiday feast, enjoying your favorite pie and eggnog, when your mother, could be anyone, just saying mother here, leans over and whispers, "Honey, have you tried Weight Watchers?" Those six words could very easily just wither your soul. All of the self-acceptance you've been working on, the support groups, all of the friends that you have, the things that you've been doing, you might feel desperate to make your mom recognize all the hard-won truths you've learned about your own value, your own beauty, the acceptance you have of your body, and you may want to argue, to explain, to get right in there and force your mother to approve of your appearance. You're coming very close to a dangerous area and setting yourself up for disaster, right? Because remember this, any attempt that you make to control other people actually puts you under their control, so to speak, because you're at their mercy. You are trying to change what cannot be changed. If you decide you can't be happy until your mother finally understands you, her dysfunction will rule your life. You could spend the next 20 years trying to please her so much that she'd just have to accept you, and she still might not. Or you could hold her, not literally, but you could hold her at gunpoint and threaten her into saying the words you want to hear, but you'll never control her real thoughts and her real feelings, just never. The only way you can avoid getting stuck in other people's codependency is to unhook from their systems by refusing to control them. Don't violate your own code of values and ethics, but don't waste energy trying to make other people violate theirs either. If soul searching has shown you that your mother's opinions are wrong for you, as are maybe your grandfather's opinions about other things, your sister's opinions about other things, your cousin's opinions, or behaviors that they have, you have to hold your own truth in your heart, whether or not your family members validate it. And that's tough. That can be a difficult thing to deal with. but it's important that you remain true to yourself. Feel what you feel, know what you know, and set your relatives free to do the same. Send them light and love, right? Part of the forgiveness part that we talked about two weeks ago. And if you've been deeply wounded by your family, you can stop trying to control them by accepting full responsibility for your healing. I'm not suggesting that you shoulder the blame, but rather that you acknowledge that you and only you have the ability to respond to the injury by seeking cures instead of furthering pain, whatever the situation. Accepting that you can control only your own thoughts and actions will help you mend more quickly and thoroughly. You can also become an observer. There's something social scientists call participant observation. And any group activity is really pretty interesting when you're planning to look at it and observe it, like maybe for the intention of describing it later. And there are different exercises that you can do. There's one that I call the comedy connection. In this exercise, you look to your family for something comical in the gathering, the way things have always been. Just watch closely. If you know a certain relative is going to make a certain comment, bet your spouse or even just with yourself for how long it will take for that comment to appear. I know my family and I years ago enjoy our gatherings generally, but I remember a few times in the past when we would use this game. For example, when my kids were learning their manners and we were talking about different ways and working out things as they were getting older, what to say, when to say it, we used to try to guess who would give a manners comment first, how far into the event. All light, but it was an opportunity to keep it light for them so that they didn't feel like they were doing something wrong as they were learning. It was just an opportunity for learning. And I've read something, there's an author, Martha Beck, who suggests the dysfunctional family bingo. It's a little bit more risque, but it's a matter of getting together with family or friends, family who would make sense to participate in, and create a bingo chart of things that might happen at a family gathering, like the first person who would say, "So when are you going to get married?" and have that as a bingo chip on it, and then whoever's participating in it, the first one to get bingo would call the other person. It's just a way to keep the family gatherings a little bit light. So there's also an opportunity to vent, let's say, with somebody that's close to you in the family, somebody who understands you, somebody that can share your observations in a lighthearted way after the family gathering. It's just a way to validate your own feelings and get some perspective and get back into what you know to be true about yourself. And all of these strategies, from relinquishing hope of transformation to mimicking your relatives in conversations with your friends, they're designed to help you love your family unconditionally in whatever way works for you, works best for you. Just recognize the reality. Don't sugarcoat it. People are going to behave how they're going to behave. It doesn't make sense to ignore it, but you can choose to keep it on the lighter side. Be aware of dangerous behavior or people that serve to antagonize or irritate others. That doesn't need to be tolerated. You can set boundaries there. Do expect to have a great get-together and to have a good time. And if someone is detracting from that, then there are ways to divert the conversation and bring it back a little bit lighter. And if things get out of hand, there are people that you can call. Remember that just because you're family doesn't always mean that you're safe, but you have to be aware. Family holiday time is not therapy time. It's for professionals to handle in private. Just keep it light. Keep yourself observing. Most importantly, always remember that you absolutely have no social or familial obligation to be victimized. Ever. Ever. So if you find yourself dreading the annual family gathering, there are steps you can take to mitigate the negative effects, both as an individual and as a family. The best thing you can do is manage your expectations, to set realistic ones so you don't get frustrated or angry around the holidays. There's no reason to assume that this family gathering will be different than any others, but preparing mentally that things could be different may offset some of the disappointment or stress that you feel. So pay attention to what you're expecting, and then perhaps you can be open to changing your expectations. So in closing, you can't change someone who doesn't see an issue in their actions. Refuse to inherit dysfunction. Learn new ways of living instead of repeating what you lived through. And if you feel you grew up in a family with toxicity, make it your legacy to break the family legacy. Your new motto, the pain stops here. I'd like to thank my sponsor, Full Recovery Wellness Center, and I'd like to thank you for joining me. Next week's show will be on Christmas, and it will be a previously recorded show that's playing at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on 107.9 and 95.1 FM, with the same recorded show playing at 9 a.m. Saturday on 97.5. For those of you who celebrate, I wish you a very Merry Christmas, wonderful family gatherings, and I'll speak to you again live on New Year's Day. Until then, keep it light, smile, and enjoy. Good night. Did you know there's a world-class addiction treatment center that accepts most insurance right in Fairfield, New Jersey? The Full Recovery Wellness Center offers substance abuse help with flexible day and evening options. Overcoming addictive behavior is really just the beginning of recovery. The Full Recovery program offers a holistic approach to improve all areas of your life, from strained relationships to difficult career and financial situations. At Full Recovery, the goal is simple: provide you the tools needed to enjoy a rich and rewarding life. Full Recovery is now offering its exclusive Badge of Honor program, a treatment solution designed to meet the unique privacy needs of New Jersey's first responders and police officers. When relapse is not an option, turn to the state licensed professionals at the Full Recovery Wellness Center, located at 87 Fairfield Road in Fairfield. For more information, 973-244-0022 or at www.full-recovery.com. Full Recovery Wellness Center in Fairfield.
The views and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of Oldies 107.9 WOLD or SRN Communications.